Welcome to the Townships at 12. You're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM, the voice of the townships. And I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale. In today's show, I will be talking with Jane Loisel. Jane sits on the board of directors for the Townships Research and Cultural Foundation, and they are celebrating their 40th anniversary this year. We will hear part one of the interview with Jane in the first part of today's show. And in part two of the show today, we will hear the second part of the interview I did with Jane. As always, I will have lots of announcements for community events, some health news, and some music. So let's get started with a song called The River, and it's by Happy Landing.
Myself from loving you, loving you.
And if I tried, it wouldn't make much sense. No, not at all, not at all.
We're slamming all the screen doors closed and drinking straight from the water hose. It's true, me and you.
Running through what you see,
life is great.
Community spirit and helping neighbors are at the heart of life in the Eastern Townships. And today, we're talking with an organization that has been supporting that spirit for 40 years. Joining me is Jane Loisel to talk about the important work of Townshippers Foundation, an organization dedicated to supporting grassroots projects and strengthening communities across the region. From youth programs to community care initiatives, Townshippers Foundation continues to make a meaningful difference in the lives of so many people in the Eastern Townships. Today, we'll learn more about their work, their recent grant-giving luncheon in Knowlton, and their celebration of 40 years of giving back. We'll be talking with Jane Loisel. Maureen Dillon Teasdale for theCUBE, and today I'm really pleased to welcome Jane Loisel to the Townships at 12. Now, Jane is on the Board of Directors for Townshippers Foundation, so welcome, Jane.
Thank you.
Now, first of all, congratulations on 40 years. What does that milestone mean to Townshippers Foundation?
Oh, my. I mean, it means a lot. The Townshippers Association started first, and like many grassroots groups, they, you know, it's like someone's living room over someone's kitchen table when there were all the language issues that came around many moons ago. Shortly after that, people wanted to donate and help the association keep it going, maybe find an office space, because there was very little funding that came to groups at that time. And so a small group, Dr. Ross, Mrs. Goodsoul, Mrs. Goodfellow, they applied to be a foundation, charitable status, so that people who gave, let's say, 100 or even more, hopefully, they could get a tax receipt. So that encourages people to make a donation when they feel they'll get something back for income tax. So that's how the foundation started. And it was really there to support the association. And over the years, they began to get more federal, some provincial funding. And so what happened was people were applying to the association for projects because, you know, they wanted to do things in their local communities. And I should mention the Townshippers Association and the foundation, we work with the historic Eastern Township. And I emphasize that because many people think Estrie, you know, the administrative regions and Montérégie, but we're much bigger, the historic, and that's what the Destination Sherbrooke works with, is the historic Eastern Township. We go the other side of Richmond, we go up towards Thetford Mines, out towards Baldwin's Mills, down to the border, the other side of Cowansville. We cover a very, very large area, which is not, as I said, the administrative area, but covers what was the Eastern Township, and, well, still is to most of us. So what happens is they started to get requests from smaller groups in these small towns to do things to help organize and promote the protection of English. Hence, applications for projects started to come in. So that's when the foundation took over reviewing and assessing these applications to take it out of the hands of the association, because they were busy presenting briefs, you know, trying to do more, I guess you'd call it political activities. I don't want to really say politics, but presenting things that would protect the language and improve it in the area. So 40 years is, who would have thought we'd get this far? But you know what? We are absolutely amazed. We can't thank the community enough. I mean, I was not involved, obviously, in the early years, but the donors have been consistent for all of these years because they know that every cent that comes into the foundation goes back out into the community for projects.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it really is. I mean, we just held last 2 weeks ago, actually, almost.
Yeah, you had a luncheon and you gave out some awards.
We gave out actually checks.
Okay.
We give away money.
All the better. Yeah.
Yeah. One of our members always said, well, we ask for it to give it away. And that's what we do. We do keep a percentage because we have rent and we have accountant fees to pay. We only have staff one day a week and the board members are very active. Now, obviously, I'm going to use the COVID word, but for many, many years, we would hold exactly that, a luncheon, invite all of the persons and the groups that were going to be receiving money, and we'd have a nice light lunch, and then they could talk about their project, because for us, we only see it on paper. Now, we know some of the groups, obviously, but when you see it on paper, when you actually meet the people, and you get to find out more about what they're doing, and the last few years, well, of course, during COVID, everything stopped, as you know. It was, no one met anybody. We still were receiving monies. And again, so impressed with our community that even with COVID, they were sending in donations, which is absolutely amazing. And then last year we were in Melbourne. This year we were in Knowlton. And we try to move it around the township. you know, to a halt. We support the local caterer. And the groups come in, and we're always so amazed the amount of networking. This library talks to that library, or this school talks to that school. Where did you get your books? What books do we have? And it's amazing how much information gets shared, because a lot of the activities are done in many, many areas. And sometimes they're not aware of what the other schools are doing. We're finding more and more that the schools with budget cuts, and they don't have the extra money to buy more books. It's just the budget just can't handle it. Mm-hmm. So this year we gave books to, we're doing it with Ayerscliff. We're doing it with Princess Elizabeth. And it's just, it's such a feel-good thing to know that there are new books going into these schools.
Okay.
You know, and it's great for the teachers. And many of the books can go home on weekends for students to read, which is really nice. And this year we also have a couple of projects which we found very, very interesting, in that the, like the library, I'm trying to think of the library, Pets Library, but there's two different projects that they've got seniors, and they have kindergarten or first grade students meeting to share ideas and ask questions. So you've got, I know the Wales Home is doing something with St. Francis Elementary. That's just, to me, just amazing that they get these two groups together. You know, it's
feel amazing.
Good. Right. And to meet the people, because a lot of the hours that go in to these groups are volunteer. They do it out of a sheer, they want to support their community. They feel strongly about what they're doing. Like, we're supporting a small grant with St. Patrick's Society. Well, you've probably given announcements and talked about the St. Patrick's activities in Richmond. It's a whole month.
It is. It's amazing. So how would you say your mission is exactly? How would you explain the mission of Townshippers Foundation?
Well, our mission, in a nutshell, it's our true name. We call ourselves Townshippers Foundation for simplicity, but we are actually registered as the Townships Research and Cultural Foundation. So obviously we go towards things that are research, libraries. We're supporting this year a ballet group out in Sutton. We're supporting the Colby Curtis Museum, which they talk about living close to the border. We're helping with a small grant for the North Hatley Jazz Fest, which has an August festival. So there's a real range of activities that go on, and they're all part of research, but culture. And that's another thing that, you know, is a big part of what we do. We're helping the Army, Navy, Air Force Unit 318 here in Lenoxville. And they have a fantastic museum, again, volunteer run. They needed some help getting all of the memorabilia and the items they have categorized and on a computer. You know, and you can only ask so much of a volunteer. So they've been able to hire someone for X number of hours this summer. So that's recorded somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
People give, and you know, and it's sad to say, but this, I know a whole generation has passed away, and people have these items. They have uniforms and medals and different things that have been in the family. They don't want to throw it away. Where does it go? So the museum is able to take it in. So that's just another sort of cultural, sort of historical activity. We do support as much as we can children's literacy. That's why we've been very careful and very happy to give away or to give them money to purchase books so they're accessible. I'm trying to think of something like the Borderline Players. We have two different projects this year. We can't give them a big budget, but if we can help defray some of the cost, and it's nice to think that there are theater productions going on. And again, it's, you know, the greatest good for the greatest number. Well, that's community. You know, people get together. As I say, you know, there's so many diverse projects. I have to be careful and not say one I'm more favorable or happy with, because they're all so amazing. Princess Elizabeth is doing a garden project. You probably grew up with a garden.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did. I only got to weed.
Okay. Well,
and go and pick a cucumber.
When you look back over the 40 years, what are some moments or accomplishments that make you maybe feel especially proud?
Oh, my heavens, there's so many. I remember, this was a few years ago, there was a project that was taking place in Stansted, which had a lower rate of success for students in high school. And this was before I felt help, which I'll get to. But it was a case of, you know, long bus rides. So the children would come home from school. So they'd be on the bus for, you know, not getting home till maybe 5:15, if I'm not mistaken. And so you get home and you've got, you know, kids that are tired, parents that are tired, because they've probably traveled to get from work to get home. And they were able to start a number of study programs, which took some of the pressure off the parents, took some of the pressure off the students. And, you know, so those are projects that help everyone, you know, and people are happy, if the students are happy and the parents feel a little less stressed, well, that's a positive environment. And it was a number of years after that, you're probably familiar with the self-help in Stansted.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was a few years after that, two ladies came to us from the Montreal area, but they knew about Stansted. And they started, we were the foundation for Felt Help so that they could do fundraising and give away a tax receipt until they received their charitable status. So we were able to help them. So that is another way we're so pleased that we can help Felt Help. And now Felt Help is just an amazing part of the Stansted community.
It is.
But we were at least there, you know, on the first little step. I don't know if you've ever heard about the Plein Rayon, which is out in Cowansville.
No.
This is, again, a number of years ago. There are a number of challenged students or intellectually challenged or maybe autism and a number of different, I won't say ailments, but difficulties for the students. And they came to us and they said, well, can you give us a grant? We said, well, we don't get enough money to give you like $10,000 or $20,000, but we can form a partnership with you. So they do their fundraising, the checks come to us, we send the money back to them, and the person gets a charitable tax receipt, and they're able to do projects. So they had the students learning how to repair bicycles, and now they've gone to birdhouses and a whole slew of things which they make and sell. And in that interim, they also applied for charitable status. But once they've shown that they can raise money and that they're doing a valuable work for the community, they're much more able to get charitable status, which is very difficult to get these days, I will say.
So that would be an example of maybe the needs of the community and the townships changing over the years and the foundation adapting to that?
Yes, we have to a bit. We still have to abide by our original mission statement. And I will say we work very hard when we're reviewing the application to be terribly consistent in what we do and how we do it, because we are responsible to the Canadian Revenue Agency. Now, we receive no funding from anyone except the donations that come in. But we do, as I said with Plein Rayon, we have partnerships with a number of groups that, again, can't get charitable status, but they meet our criteria. We work with a number of local cemeteries and, you know, people trying to keep the cemeteries up and running and, you know, again, volunteers mowing the lawn, keeping it neat. And a lot of these groups, they do their own fundraising, which is great. They send the donations through us. So we keep, as I said, a very small percentage. We give the money back to them, so they're able then to keep their cemeteries current. And I mean, some of these cemeteries have stories that go back, you know, over 100 years, and the locals are trying to keep things going because children move away. There's no one there to sort of, and a lot of the churches are closing. So these cemeteries are there, but they need some attention. So that's another way that through these partnerships that we can then help local, very local groups, and, you know.
Exactly.
And to us, that's important because this year, the last couple of years, we've been working with, in Sherbrooke, it's called the Société de Généalogie des Cantons de l'Est.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's volunteers. but they're doing, and they've been doing it for more than a couple of years, but they're doing research on the English-speaking members of World War One and World War Two, and doing biographies and getting it into a book so that their stories are not lost.
And that's fascinating.
So that it really is. I mean, mm-hmm. Oh my heavens.
And that was part one of an interview I did with Jane Loisel. She sits on the board for the Townshipers Research and Cultural Foundation. They recently celebrated their 40th anniversary, and that is very exciting. We're going to hear part two in the second part of my show today. So next up, we have some community events for you. At the Museum of Nature and Science on Frontenac Street in Sherbrooke, May 14th, 1:30 p.m., it will be the official launch of the exhibition, Giraffe, The Great Passion of Anne Innes Stagg, will be taking place. Produced by the museum and adapted by the Museum of Nature and Science in Sherbrooke in collaboration with the Anne Innes Stagg Foundation, this exhibition will be on display from May 9th to September 7th, 2026. The Bone Museum out in Quaticook is proud to present Reminiscences of Fire, When Memory is Reborn from the Ashes, by acclaimed and visual artist Isabel Jean, from May 17th to June 28th, with an opening reception on Sunday, May 17th at 2 p.m., which is open to the public. Fresh from receiving a medal in Paris, Isabel Jean brings her internationally recognized work to Quaticook, in an exhibition that explores memory, roots, resilience, and renewal through sculpture, painting, installations, and sound, Reminiscences of Fire invites visitors on a powerful sensory journey, reflecting on what remains after hardship and how memory can shape what comes next. There will be a fashion show, Wine and Cheese Fundraiser, coming up on Saturday, May 23rd at 7 p.m. at the Haskell Opera House. You must be 18 years and over, and tickets are $30 and must be purchased in advance. All proceeds will be going toward the Cab Redeker Center to help individuals and families in the community. Lots of events coming up for Lennoxville Elementary School, May 24th, Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. They are having a bottle drive. If you have some empty bottles to get rid of, they will accept them. Just drive by the Lennoxville Elementary School on Academy Street in Lennoxville and drop them off. Coming up on May 24th, Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., it's a pancake breakfast, a fundraiser for the Lennoxville Elementary School. All money raised will go toward making the classrooms more inclusive with educational accessibility tools. And on June 5th, Friday, 6 p.m., it's a movie night. A movie will be played in the school gym. More details to come, and they will be involved also in Friendship Day on June 13th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. There will be a plant sale May 30th, 9 a.m. to noon at the Colby Curtis Museum in Stansted. The museum is located at 535 Dufferin Street. The Wales Home Ladies Auxiliary is having a silent auction for the Wales Home residents. The silent auction has already begun, and the final bid is May 23rd at 3 p.m. The auction takes place at the Wales Home main living room. The Wales Home is located at 506 Route 243 in Cleveland, Quebec. They're also having a white elephant on May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the residents and 11 a.m. for the public. The bake sale is May 23rd at 1:30 p.m. To make a bid, you must go to the Wales Home living room. Writers Out Loud, writing the Eastern Townships. The Quebec Writers Federation invites everybody to Writers Out Loud, writing the Eastern Townships. Join them on May 24th, 4 p.m. for a Sunday afternoon at the Brougham Lake Books, located at 45 Lakeside Road in Knowlton. The next unit meeting for the ANAF, Unit 318, The Hut, will be held on May 27th at 7 p.m. The ANAF, Unit 318, The Hut in Lennoxville. Every Sunday afternoon, it's a dance with Sid Aulis from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. You must be 18 years and over. A charge at the door. Come join us for our community Radio Day, happening on Saturday, June 6th, 10 a.m. It will be held at the Queen Square in Lennoxville. CJMQ, CIDI, CFLX will be there. Local voices and community spirit. Special live program. Open air bingo. Food and DJ truck. Workshops. And a market. That's Saturday, June 6th, at Queen Square in Lennoxville, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Everybody is invited to attend and support Community Radio. Friendship Day in Lenoxville coming up on Saturday, June 13th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Fun for the whole family, nonprofit organizations, artisans, music, and that is Friendship Day in Lenoxville on June 13th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's a Soltis celebration happening on June 20th, 12 p.m. to 1 a.m., sponsored by the Loisir Sawyerville. At the community garden, there's a market, pizza, a shaman drummer, hay rides, a petting zoo, and face painting. At the ballpark, bouncy castles, fireworks, canteen, and games. There's also live music, 70 Ranborough Road in Sawyerville. That's June 20th, 12 p.m. to 1 a.m. Open house for the Pregnancy Option Center in Lenoxville, Saturday, June 27th, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. There will be bouncy castles, kids' activities, free drinks and snacks, and center tours. And there will also be drawing raffle tickets for a much-anticipated prize to be announced soon. The Grace Village Care Foundation ensures that every senior can live with dignity, security, and peace of mind, regardless of financial circumstances. Many of the residents have shaped our bilingual community and contributed to its growth. When unexpected financial challenges arise, the foundation ensures they can continue to call Grace Village home. On June 27th, they will be hosting their annual fundraising gala, bringing together community leaders, partners, and supporters. This cornerstone event raises essential funds to sustain and expand their support for residents facing financial hardship. They are looking for partnerships. If you are interested to support seniors in our community while providing meaningful visibility and alignment with a trusted and respected local institution, please go to the Grace Village website. We will take a break and hear the news with Derek Bullard, and then we will be right back with part two of the Townships at 12. And in part two of the show today, we will hear the other half of the interview I did with Jane Loisel, board member of the Townships Research and Cultural Foundation. We will close part one of the show today with a new song by Steven Sanchez. The song is called Dance Away the Music. You're listening to The Cube, CJMQ 88.9 FM.
Happened. You're still the one that I need, and I don't want you to leave.